We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
The
Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters. Hey there. Welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the Eurostep Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch, one of your hosts, joined as always by the bubbly Rohan Kadi. Rohan, already cracking up. How's it going, sir?
I'm doing very, very well. It's been a good weekend, good time, and I get to talk Bucks basketball. What else could you ask for in lifetime?
I don't know. I mean, this is pretty much, you know, some personal things aside, family, friends. This is pretty much it. It's pretty much all I need. Let's get down into it. The big news. We have a giveaway. I think we'll circle back. We got to talk Chris Middleton right now, dude. We have been talking all season with bated breath about the arrival of Chris Middleton because, you know, not sure if you had heard this, Rohan, he hadn't played all year, dealing with the knee injury and then the wrist injury and then a tragedy in the family, as detailed by Jim Ozarski. We covered more of that stuff on the last podcast we did before he returned. That's all done now. Chris is back. He made his debut on Friday night against the Lakers. The Bucks may have lost, but Chris, I thought, looked excellent. 17 points, 7 assists, 2 rebounds for Chris in the debut. The middies look sharp. He's shooting 75% from 3, really picking up where he left off as a human flamethrower. Rohan, do you agree with that basic assessment? And what else did you see from Chris in his debut?
First and foremost, it's amazing that he looked that efficient when he hadn't played basketball since May. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. Like, this is you guys talked about this on Win and Six, the last episode here on the Eurostep Podcast Network feed. Make sure you subscribe if you're not already.
GSPN.info. But it's the same feed. It's the same feed, but find all the shows at GSPN.info.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus Discord access, all that fun stuff. It's awesome. But you guys detailed how like it's exciting to see Chris Middleton back first and foremost. But I did not expect him to look this good right away. You would expect some level of rust. You would expect some level of like sort of, okay, you're not in rhythm yet. You need to get up to game speed, because we know that he had been practicing with the Wisconsin Herd. He'd been assigned there a few times because the Bucks as a team don't really practice. So it's
NBA teams do. By the way, not just a Bucks thing. Just so no one listening is like, oh, why don't they practice? They should do that. There's not time with the season, how many games there are, etc.
Yeah. Plus, especially a team like the Bucks who has so much cohesion.
And
old guys. You want to be able to save guys. There's no need really at this point, especially for a team that's gearing for the postseason rather than the regular season. A team like Milwaukee does not need to practice as much. It's not a bad thing. Don't worry. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. It's amazing to see that he did not need to get a few games under his system before he got into a rhythm. He came ready. It's like the saying, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. He stayed ready, even though he just resumed basketball activities like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, for the most recent time. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous to see. So, so happy for our guy, Chris Middleton. This, we've always been a pro Chris Middleton podcast.
Yeah.
It's like you said, the midi looked good. The three pointer looked good. His jumper overall, his playmaking looked fantastic. And once he got the ball in his hands and was able to create, you could instantly see, oh yeah, this is what this team has been missing. Yeah. Just another guy who can do things with the ball in his hands, who you can trust, who is dependable. I'm overjoyed talking about Chris Middleton right now, Ty.
Yeah. I mean, I am too. We talked about some of those possessions where the offense just felt kind of listless, or Drew or Giannis takes a bad shot, whatever, where it's like, oh, they're just missing something. As we kind of knew that, like, they were missing Chris Middleton. That was it. And like, there was a couple of possessions in the Lakers game. We've only seen him once. He and the other two of the big three all sat out against Charlotte. We'll probably talk about that game a little bit. I didn't get to watch it live. I know you did catch at least most of it. Cool to grab a win there and stay firmly in second in the East, even without all those guys playing. But so we've seen Chris the one game, but there were some possessions where it's like, you know, the offense, nothing's really happening. No one's getting an advantage. Swing it around to him behind the arc, and he just like makes a semi-contested three. And it's like, oh, that was easy. That was pretty nice to just be able to do that whenever you want. Oh, yeah, I forget the Bucks. That's kind of how their offense has worked all these years. And that's like the ultimate. He's like a tight end in football. He's the ultimate safety valve. If nothing else is working at literally any point, you can just hand the ball to Chris Middleton and be like, hey, can you do something good? And Chris is like, yeah, I can. I was rewatching his top 10 career plays. And number one, according to NBA.com, I don't know if I agree with this, but it's the Celtics playoff with 0.8 seconds left.
Oh, the half court?
Pretty much half court. Yeah, I think he's slightly inside of it, but he's pretty close to it. And it's just like, that is the ultimate Chris Middleton. Like, you know, there's some variance with Chris. We all know this, but there's 0.8 seconds left. You just need someone to shoot immediately, and doesn't matter if he's covered. Like, that's Chris, and that's, he does little versions of that all the time. The playmaking stood out. And I almost feel like this may have been maybe a focus for him as he was out, and maybe watching and working on like the mental aspect of the game, because it did feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just that we haven't seen him in so long. And Drew is a good playmaker, and we got to watch him. It just felt so easy for Chris because of his combination of shooting and playmaking. You know, he had a couple bad plays. I don't think he had no turnovers though, officially. I think it was like almost a turnover, and the Bucks ended up with it. The play I'm thinking of, but I don't know. It just felt like he was slicing through the Lakers defense like a hot knife through butter. Is that a new one for you?
No, I've heard that one.
I'm good. Okay. That's pretty, yeah. That one's been around. So I'm glad you tuned in there.
I think Mark Jones likes that one.
Hotter than fish grease. Such a good one. Chris was hotter than fish grease. But the playmaking, I was just like, wow, that's really impressive to see everything look so sharp right away. Do you feel like that was just Chris's playmaking? Or do you think it was, like I do, a little bit beyond what we'd seen on a normal basis?
I mean, it's fair to say it's a little bit above a normal game for Chris Middleton. Like, If he's averaging 7 assists per game right now for the entire season, which he is because he's played one game this season, that would be the highest of his career. Like, he's been hovering around 6 assists these past few seasons, like 5.5. Like, it's getting up there.
Yeah.
But it's never been this high. So I would say it is an above average game, and it feels like it was an above average game. Like, obviously assists don't tell the entire story in terms of creation, for an offense, but just the way he was being decisive in his passes, in his reads, it looked like, yeah, this is Chris. This is a guy who's actually leveled up his basketball IQ in terms of being an actual playmaker.
It just looked so easy. I mean, Chris is never
effortless, just effortless.
Never, yeah. Like, and that's so impressive because we all know, or maybe some people don't. Maybe some people are such new Bucks fans, they haven't watched that much Chris. I kind of forget that's like possible. Probably not likely, but it is possible. Doesn't have the tightest handle. That's like probably Chris's biggest bugaboo outside of general consistency. I think the two are pretty linked, right? But I don't know. It didn't look like, obviously I wasn't watching like, oh my God, is that 2016 Kyrie Irving out there? Like, it was still Chris. It wasn't like some crazy dribble packages, But it
can
just,
you be Paul George? Like,
even that's a, I mean, Paul George is a hell of a.
Yeah, that's
he doesn't even have to be that. I mean, Kawhi. Kawhi's handle, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair.
Kawhi just has monster hands, so if he's in trouble, he can just palm it at any point. But I guess a lot of NBA players could probably do that, too. I digress. I don't know. I just really – I loved how easy it looked for Chris in the first game back. You know, I'm sure there'll be some bumps in the road as he gets all the way acclimated, but I sure am happy that the Bucks were diligent about taking their time and making sure that he was in game shape because it really looked like he was. He only played a little under 27 minutes. Also, that's another like point for the – it was a different level of Chris playmaking because it was higher than his career average in like way less minutes. I mean, Chris is usually low 30s. 6 minutes, not a ton, but it's not nothing either. You know, he racked up those assists pretty quickly. But that extra time, Bud talked about like making sure, you know, he was ramped up and ready. He sure looked ready. And I think you'd much rather have to wait a couple more weeks than to get an unfinished rehab Chris where, you know, he's looking a little gassed out there. It just doesn't look right. Whatever the process was, it seems like they really nailed it on this.
Oh, for sure. One thing the Bucks are very good at is making sure their guys are right when they come back. Medical staff does an amazing job, a tremendous job, just sort of making sure guys are ready to come back and be healthy. And that's another example in Chris Middleton. Like, he came back and he's ready to go. It's so nice. I can't wait to see him play again because obviously, like you mentioned, he sat out the Hornets game. It's a back to back. You don't want to play a guy on the second night of a back to back.
I have a tirade.
Okay, go.
It wasn't just a back to back. It's a back to back. The NBA should ban. I mean, not ban. It's just not schedule anymore. It's up to them. It was a sub 24 hours between tip back to back. So it was 6:30 the first game when they played the Lakers in Milwaukee. And then the next game was 5 p.m. Central Time because they were playing in Charlotte the next night. That's insane to me. Sub 24 hours.
Home road back to back.
Yeah. I mean, Charlotte is, you know, not the world's longest trip or anything, but it's still, you still travel, you know, after either night of or early morning after a game. And it's just like sub 24 hours because, you know, even if it's like 7 p.m. back to back, it's still less than 24 hours. Like between the end of a game and the start of the next game, that's fine. There's only so much you can do about that with NBA time slots. But there should not be like 18 hours between the end of a game and the start of a next game. I just feel like, you know, of course the Bucks were going to rest Chris and some other guys. The Hornets didn't look good either. They played the night before. I know the league is trying to minimize back-to-backs, but I think they should really ensure that there are no, you know, 6:30 and then 5 p.m. the same time zone tips. Like, that's just too quick of a turnaround. So thankfully, as we've talked about, this is a very deep Bucks team and they were able to just have different people step up and kind of make up for that. And, you know,
and the Hornets are really bad.
Yeah, that helps too. That helps too, for sure. But I mean, just like, you know, Mamu, AJ Green seemed to play pretty well. TA all got some run. Bobby, Brook stepped up. I don't know how Brook's doing it. I don't know. We know Brook likes to play. We know in years past, it's been a story, right? Like, he doesn't want to sit game 82, even though the seeding is set, whatever else. I can't believe how many games he's played this season. It's nutty.
Right? We talked before the season about how like potentially Serge coming back is like Brook Lopez insurance because you're gonna be resting Brook more. Nope. Apparently not.
Like
just not happening.
He's playing 31 minutes a game, has played all 22 of the games. So he's by default pretty much leading the Bucks in total minutes then, I'm sure. And the efficiency is higher than ever. We have to circle back to the starting lineup decision that was made when Chris came back. But I can't stop talking about Brook now that I'm started. I say the same things about Brook every time. The analysis, there's no update. He's still fucking awesome. It's a censored episode now. Sorry, folks, but it's Brook Lopez. I mean, you looking at, what has he got? 15 points per game, 49% from the field, 41% from deep. The Noah changing lives out here, 82% from free throw, just under 6 rebounds, over 1 assist, which is nice for a big guy, 0.6 steals, 3 blocks per game. Oh, we have Brook news we can talk about with this.
Oh, yeah, true.
What was this, Woj on a TV show?
Yeah, it was.
I think on NBA Today. I don't know. We can pull it up, but he basically said there's interest from both sides in either an extension or just re-signing him after his deal is up. His bird rights are there, so that it's not like they for sure lose him if they don't extend him. They have until the end of the regular season, though, I believe, if they want to do it early. This was also being talked about a little before that news. Al Horford signed a pretty reasonable extension for a couple of years in Boston. A similar deal, even if it's a little more money per year or more years. I don't care. Get Brooke. We need Brooke. Look at this man. Like, I trust him to age gracefully because we're seeing it happen.
Yes. So the reporting was that the Bucks and Brooke Lopez are prioritizing a contract extension, either in this season or following the season in the summer, and that Milwaukee wants Brooke Lopez to finish his career there, which is just like, that's just speaking. That's my love language right there. Like, whatever category that is, it's that. Just so we can see Brooke Lopez retire and Milwaukee Buck, have him go into the Hall of Fame as a Milwaukee Buck, have him go up into the Raptors with that number 11 jersey hanging in five.
We might need to start a new line of these right here. If the extension gets done, we might have to.
We do.
Yeah, at least five numbers going up. Bobby, yep. I think, is probably the next closest. He's on the way.
I'd say so.
He's on the way. Brooke is awesome.
He's top 3-4 center in Bucks history.
Well, he can't be one. Unfortunately. No, he can't. I love you, Brooke. He can't be one.
I don't think he's two either.
You think about Bogut?
Or like Bob Lanier or someone.
But by the time Bob Lanier was on the Bucks, though, it was a part of a great era for sure. I gotta look just to reconfirm. I think I might give the edge to Brooke here, though.
So he's at least top three. How about that?
Early Bucks tenure, Bob Lanier was like 14-7. He made one All-Star team with the Bucks. I think it's one of those.
Brooks made zero, though.
For now. Change this year. He should change.
Let's have a little bit of that conversation. Okay. How many centers? I know they're not going to do centers for All-Star. It's front court and guard.
But the coaches will want a center or two on the team.
Yeah. How many centers in the East are playing better than Brooke Lopez?
One.
One?
Some Bucks fans will say zero. Embiid is still.
It's no. Better. It's it, Embiid yeah. is yes. Yeah. It's one. Realistically,
Miles Turner's up there.
Is close.
Having a good. He really wants to get traded. Probably won't be on the Pacers by the time they have the All-Star game.
And that's fine. Just clearing another spot because he's already bought real estate in LA. Like at this rate, I don't know if he has or not, but it's just
Bam is good and always going to be in consideration. I'm not saying he was better. I'm just saying he's gonna merit. He's gonna get conversation. How about that?
Sure. Maybe be an above 500 team.
Yeah, I think I would try it personally.
Yeah, you know, just like maybe give that a shot for once. My age.
I think it's been pretty fun, to be honest.
Oh, we're gonna get some heat for that.
They've got enough to worry about.
Get some heat for that.
Yeah, that's good what you did there.
Thank you. But yeah, Brooke Lopez, just absolutely sensational. He deserves to be an All-Star this season. He deserves all NBA consideration this season.
Yeah, I mean, they still do a center for that, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, he could end up one of the best three centers in the league this year.
I mean, like top two are already locked up, but...
Yeah. It would be nice if they did end up putting two of them on the same team, but I don't think they will.
No, after last season, they're not going to.
Yeah.
Ever. That kind of set the precedent.
Yeah, I mean, like, Minnesota imploding helps Brooks' chances there. I think I'm probably forgetting someone who's going to end up being Aiton? Obvious.
Aiton?
Yeah, he's having a good year.
It'll be tough, though.
I'll take the All-Star.
He's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take an All-Star. I'll take any sort of recognition as long as he gets that Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, but early signs are good. There's a lot of time to go, but the early buzz has been good.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah. Okay, before we got, it fell in love with Brook Lopez again.
Easy to do.
He's very easy to do. He was fighting mascots in Charlotte. It was awesome. Oh, man. We were talking about the starting lineup.
Yeah.
Starting lineup change. So you guys, you, Adam, and Jordan on the last 1-6, as I alluded to earlier, talked about the who would you rather start or bench in this instance, Javon Carter or Grayson Allen? Who would you rather send to the bench? Adam and Jordan, having morphed into one cute couple, have both chosen Javon Carter to go to the bench.
Adam agreed with me, but also agreed with Jordan. They've become the same person because Adam sat on the fence. Adam was like, true. I agree with both of you. I think Javon, I'm pretty sure, I misremember things, but I'm pretty sure he said, I think Javon should start, but I think Jordan made a bunch of great points about Grayson. I was like, okay, what compelling radio.
Okay, regardless, I am inclined to agree with you, Ty, and say that Javon Carter was the guy who should start. It just because you get the defensive versatility that you unlock. Jrue Holiday is able to be, you can be more flexible in who you put Jrue on. You can have another ball handler out there, just hard-nosed defense out there at all times. And like Grayson, if he's coming off the bench, can theoretically get hot in that role. Early returns, we've had one game sample. The starting lineup did look all right. Like Grayson looked fine next to Chris. Like I have no issue with that. Javon looked like he sort of did not have a rhythm. Which is that something to do with, is it a one game thing or is it a disruption of rhythm in his first game this season coming off the bench? That's something that needs to be monitored going forward because there is potential. Like, hey, Javon Carter, he started every single game for the Milwaukee Bucks this season. Now his first game, he's coming off the bench. That's going to disrupt your rhythm a little bit. You have to come in and get hot immediately. Otherwise, you're going to throw off the rhythm. And it's a difficult adjustment to make. Is that it's just something we're going to need to monitor going forward.
Yeah, my biggest question, and again, it's too bad we've only had one game so far. We'll obviously circle back and dig more into what we see. But is it possible it was a matchup thing? With the Lakers being pretty big and pretty big-centric, and does Bud look at this and go, yeah, Troy Brown, good player. No, we're not that worried about Troy Brown. Patrick Beverley made a three in that game. I think they had to release Doves in Staples Center by law because it's such a rare occurrence. We're not that concerned offensively about Patrick Beverley. That's what I'm curious about. If they come out, I don't even know who they play next because I didn't do my research. Next up is the Magic. Not a good example. They have zero guards. But then the Kings with De'Aaron Fox. Do we see Grayson start, assuming everyone plays both games, which they should. There's time off around them. Does Grayson start against the Magic, who I think are playing bigger? Because, again, all of their guards are hurt, or at least last time I checked, maybe somewhere back now. And then do we see Javon Carter start against the Kings? Because obviously De'Aaron Fox is a problem and is a small guard. Or is it just locked in? That's my number one question now. It would not be very Bud to switch the starting lineup based on regular season matchups. That said, I do feel like he has been more like making adjustments, maybe not all that have been that great before needing to, or necessarily like not in game, right? Like we saw a lot of doubling against Embiid and Philly, which is not something the Bucks do very often, just like from the jump. And it maybe you could argue it worked, it didn't work. Embiid didn't shoot well. He did pass very well, though, and that kind of crushed them in that game. So, the way they defended Luka, like they never gave Luka a switch. They tried not to give Luka switches. They would show and then try to get his defender back on him. So we are seeing, I think, Bud being a little more flexible in the regular season, night to night. I don't know if that'll apply to the starting lineup, though. But that's what do you think that's possible, and what would your thoughts be on that?
I think it's possible, but it's not likely.
Yeah,
just given the track record.
Yeah,
We've seen it maybe a little bit in the past, like last regular season, a little bit as we wind down the season. But it's just it's not his MO. That's not what Bud does.
And that wasn't Matt night. That wasn't night to night. That was like Wes took the job last year. Yeah. I think that's a little different than what I'm proposing. Is like, oh, team with multiple smaller guards or multiple dangerous guards, more accurately. Let's throw Javon in there.
We've seen it a little bit in the sense like if someone's out and you have to find a replacement, then there's more game-to-game adjustments. Like if it's a bigger team, you're going to start Bobby. Yep. If it's a smaller team, you'll start Grayson or Javon. Pat, exactly. Like we've seen that. But in terms of like the actual starting five, we have not really seen that.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. It'll be interesting to monitor over these next couple of weeks. I'm still team Javon. I thought Grayson and the starters looked really good. And I think thinking back on our conversation, Jordan's perspective was very much like what's going to be best for some of the players involved, like Grayson, for example. I don't care about that as much as the good of the team. And I do think the way Grayson's shooting, I think that makes his case better. And not like just the accuracy, but like he's running around pin downs and letting it fly, which is not something we've consistently seen from him. And him playing like that does change things for his fit with the starters. That said, currently I still do lean Javon Carter as the optimal fifth starter because I think the Bucks win with defense more often than not. Or at least more often than winning with offense. And I like leaning into that. I like weaponizing Drew on the defensive end. And I think Javon is a good fifth starter. I do worry, will there be the possessions for him? There wasn't when he came off the bench. I think that's the number one thing is would like to see him used a little bit more offensively as well as defensively, no matter where he is, because he's shown us like he's got ball handling chops. He's got shooting and scoring chops. His usage has been too inconsistent for the skill level he has shown. Whether that's bench or starters, like I would honestly, obviously they would never say this publicly or out loud, but if the reasoning was we think over time we can we can get the ball in Javon's hands better and get him more consistent usage if we bring him off the bench, I would say fine. You know what? I would understand that, and it is about who closes anyway. But yeah, it'll be interesting to monitor. And I don't think there's a glaringly wrong answer, even though I do prefer one over the other.
No, for sure. Like we saw, Grayson looked really good with the starters. We've seen that in the past. That's why he was starting the majority of last regular season. It's like, I really, really have no, I'm not upset that Grayson started, you know, like would I prefer Javon? Yes. But is Grayson a good option too? Absolutely. Could it work out really well? Absolutely. That's an option. It's all about what can you do to maximize the skill set. Would Javon also look good with Chris back in the lineup? Most likely, you know, like Chris being like the rising tide raises all ships,
lifts all boats. Right? Yeah,
yeah. I got an expression. Let's go.
That was good. Yeah.
Thank you. So, so Chris being back, does that unlock a new level of Javon as a starter? We don't know. Yeah. We won't know until we see it. You know.
I also wonder, is this partially about Grayson being more of a dog on defense this year?
It might, like, yeah, credit to him.
Yeah.
He's making insane defensive plays every single game now. Like, he's getting rear contest blocks into baseline saves that transition to fast breaks. And I'm like, this is Grayson Allen? This is my boy Grayson, or whatever people are calling him. Like, this is it, like, the strides he's making. We have to remember, how old is Grayson? Like, he's still a young guy.
He's 27. So thank you for saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a young guy.
Couple of young guys, me and Grayson.
I mean, 27's young. Like, you're basically just entering the prime of your career, like your physical prime.
Oh.
Like, it's true.
No, I know it's true. I know.
Yeah. Like, there's still room to develop there. And he's making the strides. He's had the athleticism. He has the basketball IQ. And now he's putting it all together. Like, he's big. He has a 6'6 wingspan. He has a +2 wingspan. Like, maybe he's just putting it together now. And that's awesome. Maybe this extension is going to look like a joke next year. Who knows?
Career highs in free throw percentage, rebounds per 36 and per game. I just wanted to do per 36 to make sure, and assists per 36 too. And if you recall, that was sneakily my biggest issue with Grayson, was that he was not moving the ball enough for how often he touched it. He's addressed it. And does he have some abhorrent turnovers? Yes. Yes, he does. But not as many. He's still rocking a 2 assist to turnover ratio this season. He's over 1 steal per 36, second best mark in his career, versus the kind of his breakout season in Memphis, where he started a lot of games for them for the year before he came over to the Bucks. Right now would be a career high in 3-point percentage. Like, he's just doing a lot of really important things well. Kinda killing the Jay Crowder buzz. A little bit. Yeah.
Like, what is Jay Crowder providing right now that Grayson isn't right now?
Probably still more defense.
More defense?
Yeah.
But do you need that on this team right now?
Maybe you do, because of segue time. A concerning development was with Wesley Matthews. My guy, Wes. Everyone who listens. Our guy, Wes, for sure. But Zippy, I came up with Zippy. I've been very pro-Wes. You have too. I'm not taking this away from you. But I'm just saying, I have been very pro-Wes. Hurts my heart to see what's going on this season. It's not just the offense. The offense is bad.
The reading materials are being...
They're distributed. I've got them right here in front of me. This is the reading... This is Shea Serrano's book. But imagine it's Wes Matthews, maybe washed reading
material. Good reading material, though.
That is a good... Yeah, I was digging back through it. But... Like, the numbers look worse than they are. He's not making his threes. He's also looks like he's shooting 33% from 2. He is, but he's 4 for 12. So it's a really small sample. I'm not going to get too worked up about that just yet. Most concerning, the Laker game, LeBron is just, like, backdoor cutting him to death and just, like, getting around him. And Grayson, for the last few years, has relied on strength and intelligence more than speed.
Wes has.
Oh, what did I say, Grayson?
Grayson.
Oh, yeah. No, Grayson has not relied on those things. I'm not saying – I digress.
He didn't.
Wes Matthews has relied on strength and intelligence more than speed defensively. But on the one hand, it's LeBron James, one of the best players ever. On the other hand, it's 38-year-old LeBron. It's not exactly like contending with one of the fastest wings in the game out there. And it just looked so easy to get around Wes. And it was really bad. He was active but did not play against Charlotte. I don't know if there was any reporting on if that was just a healthy scratch or what. I assume probably just a DMP without calling it that. Or I guess technically calling it that, whatever. But not marking him as out before the game is what I mean. It's not been good. So I think if there is a pro Crowder case, it's less about Grayson. It's not like, oh, we need to get rid of Grayson. No, Grayson's playing well. I still won't fully trust him till playoffs, in playoffs. Nothing he can do about that until then, though, except keep playing well. It's more looking at Wes and going, our first option off the bench for a big wing is not looking very good on either end. It's early. I'm not totally giving up. I'm just saying the signs are not good.
Yeah, it's not looking good. This is why in recent games you've started to see Wes Matthews and his minutes sort of decline. Sometimes you don't see him until the second half, and you're like, oh yeah, Wes Matthews. Like, love Wes Matthews, like you said earlier, just, you know, Marquette guy and everything. But like, it's tough to watch out there. It's getting to the point where I'm glad we brought this up, because I was thinking this before the Laker game on, was that Friday? Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, it was.
Before the Laker game, I was thinking, I really need to see what Wes Matthews does in this game, because I'm starting to think he's a little cooked.
Yeah.
And then I watched the Laker game.
It's really,
I
was like, bad. Maybe the worst of the season.
He might be cooked. He might be cooked. He might be cooked, Ty. Like, Is there a chance? Is there a chance that he's just taking it easy, coasting the regular season, saving it, his energy? Because remember, it's just December. It is just December.
But everything he says is that he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Like, he wants maybe, to start. He wants to play 40 minutes.
Maybe he's
playing
4, 5, 6 dimensional chess.
Hopefully, yeah. Just tricking us all for no real reason. Shooting free throws well.
I'd hope so. for like the two he gets every month.
0.4 per game.
That's two every month, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
But it's just, I don't like seeing it. Like you mentioned, the like him getting backdoor cut and him just losing guys. And him just like not having even a little bit of a step to keep up with guys on the defensive end. It's just not like, we don't expect anything from him on the offensive end except like hit, catch, and shoot threes.
I was gonna say, maybe a little bit more than we're seeing here.
Yeah. I mean, like, what, he's sub 30% from three on the season.
29.8. Yeah.
And he's not even getting that many shots up in a game.
One of the Lakers misses, like, it was a bad, it just fell into Anthony Davis's hands.
Yeah.
It was like a pass. This Maybe. Is tough. And I think
it is.
I think he's kind of lumped in there with George Hill by some. George has been better.
George has been better.
Not good, but better.
He's on the borderline of good.
He's somehow shooting 29% from three. And 68% from free throw. What is going on, George?
Okay, when you put it like that.
And he's just like, he's just out there. He's 5 points per game. Like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, he does quietly good things. The plus minus when he's on there is good. He does have 2.5 assists per game without playing all that much. I would prefer if he just wasn't a part of the everyday rotation, though.
Yeah, if it's a Charlotte game, that's when you play him.
But the issue is he's playing a pretty decent amount so far.
Yeah, maybe that's part of the reason why you see Javon Carter going to the bench. So he can be that backup point guard.
Yeah.
Rather than George Hill.
Yeah.
And I think we came into the season thinking it was going to be a little bit of a battle to see who's going to have a higher spot, Javon Carter or George Hill. That's not even a question at this point anymore. It's not even like, if you're asking the question, you are outing yourself that you do not watch any basketball.
I know people are still worried. I think they're going to be worried until the playoffs. But if you look at the last few games here, it was kind of close in the Charlotte game. Their minutes, 28 to 26, but that's just a weird game for a lot of reasons. If you look at the Lakers game, coming off the bench, Javon played 20 minutes. George Hill played 9. So it's been pretty still decisively more Javon than George so far, which is good. I think
Javon's better.
We're just going to setting Ingles aside, which I'm just going to continue to do. If you're first four off the bench, let's just assume the starters stay the same for now, is Javon Carter, Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis. I guess your first three off the bench. I don't know who the fourth one is, but that first three off the bench is damn good.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Serge, we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, the non-COVID illness has him and Marjan out for a while.
I saw a tweet that he's just been cooking up some weird stuff for the team that's just led to non-COVID illness.
You wouldn't think it would get him, though.
I mean, he has to taste test his own food.
That's true. I don't know. For some reason, I feel like he would just be, like, immune to whatever he cooks.
But it's just been rampant. Make sure you guys are up to date on your vaccines, by the way.
Got my flu shot. I got the flu once. Never again. It's bad.
Yeah, just it's very easy, very simple. Make sure you guys do that.
Yeah.
But it's just, first three off the bench, they are solid. And even if it's a deep playoff series, three off the bench is fine. Like, that's all you need, realistically.
And we know there's going to be a move at some point.
There will be.
Trader John. What are your updated WAR thoughts? I didn't get to watch the Charlotte game. Seemed like he played pretty well. Believe he got an upstock.
He did.
What do you think? I know the shooting numbers are really bad. I still feel like he's played better than the numbers. He's 35.9% from the field, 35.8% from three. So just nothing is falling. I think if he went on a little bit of a heater to normalize those numbers, I think he'd be like a pretty average rotation player, which is good. That's progress.
He looked fine in the Charlotte game. Like, he shot really well from the field. What was he? 7 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from three.
Yes, on the come up a little bit.
Yeah, it was very good. He missed as many threes as he did free throws. He was 1 of 3 from the free throw line.
Bucks are bad. They're bottom of the league. Not number 30, I think, but close to the bottom of the league in free throws, right?
Oh, yeah.
In rate, I should say.
Yeah, and percentage.
I meant percentage. I did not mean – I think they draw a lot because Giannis just draws a lot. But I think percentage-wise, they are very, very low.
Yeah. I mean, you love to see the team learning a lot from Giannis, but, like, maybe not that, you know?
The Giannis. Rest of the Bucks, Luka just bricking them all just to be more like Giannis.
Yep. But Jordan Warriors look fine. Do I think Bud's going to trust him at all? I think he's going to know. I still think he's there just to be traded, but I don't know. He's looked better. He's looked fine. Nothing's wowed me. Like, the Charlotte game is probably not a good example because you have zero of the big three playing, but it's just, I don't know. I'm still a little bit out on Jordan Wara. But that's just where I'm at.
They are 27th in free throw percentage. 15th.
Who's shooting worse?
In order, the Spurs are 28th. They just—it's all young guys. I feel like that makes sense. The Mavericks, because Luka can't make them, and he's probably the only one who takes them. And then Memphis is last. Taylor Jenkins brought that
over. That one I didn't expect. I did not expect Memphis.
I guess Ja must not shoot very. I mean, it all has something to do with the best players, right?
Because
they take a big amount of the total.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Steven Adams doesn't shoot well, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. What is Ja Morant shooting from the free throw line this year?
74%. Steven Adams, 30%. Whoa. Ooh. And Xavier Tillman, he plays less, but still 30% as well.
Wow. Yikes.
30%.
That's like worse than Ben Simmons.
0.9 of 3 per game is Steven Adams' free throw. That is, whew.
Yeah, like playoff Ben Simmons, last time we saw him in the playoffs, was 34.2%. And it's like, oh my God, this is the worst guy we've ever seen. Now that Memphis has two guys doing worse than that?
Kennedy Chandler also at 30%. He just hasn't played much, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ben Simmons this year, 54% on the come up.
Yeah.
Bucks fans can't
dangerously
throw stones.
Close. Bucks dangerously fans, close to Giannis.
Yeah, Bucks fans can't throw stones with the free throws right now.
What is Giannis at right now?
He's at 61%.
That's despicable. It's bad. Yeah, that's really bad.
Were you buying into the he's changing his thing during the Lakers game because it counted and he got hit with the violation?
No, I mean, it happens every game.
That's the issue with Giannis is he changes his form all the time.
Yeah, so I'm not going to buy that. I've watched too much Giannis games to actually buy into that. Because it's like, oh, every time there's a national TV broadcast, it's a different, hey, they're changing routine, go into a detail. It's like, oh, this is a different thing than we talked about last national TV game. Like,
yeah, it's
a completely new routine. We're like three iterations past that one already.
I just, you know, this is such a bad way to segue into Giannis, but it's like, I'm not one of the people who gets worked up if they call him.
No, of course not.
He should stop breaking the rule. Like, it's a bad justification for it to be like, then you should call it more. Like, hey, let's not say that. He'd only be able to shoot half of his free throws if they called it accurately every time. I just think he should shoot them faster. It can't be worse, right? Like, I'm also on board with him trying the granny shot thing, the Rick Barry free throw. Because again, how could it really get worse? It's pretty bad. He had a good game against LA, though, I think, right?
Yeah, against the Lakers, I believe.
Maybe he cleaned it up a little bit.
He was, let me pull it up real quick. He was 8 of 11.
Yeah, pretty good for Giannis.
Free throw line. Yeah, 72.7%. That's good. That's a good day for Giannis. I hate that so much.
I know.
I hate that this is a segue to Giannis too, because Giannis is everything for this team, and like
the
still
straw
remains.
That stirs the drink.
Sure,
I've used that one before. You can't.
You
can't be surprised at that one.
I wasn't surprised. I was more surprised. I just don't like that one.
Yeah,
but Giannis has just been absolutely incredible still. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, he's 8 of 11 from the line. He has 40 points. He's chased down blocking everyone.
Yeah.
He's doing run and dunk man things, which is nice to see. Like, it's funny how we've transitioned from, wow, Giannis is more than run and dunk man, to do, hey, Giannis, do more run and dunk man things. But
when the jumper is as bad as it has been for him, hopefully that turns around soon. I don't know.
I mean, it can only go up. Realistically.
Technically, no. Realistically, hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I will say,
cool moment. When he chased down, the nice chase down, it was on LeBron. And LeBron is still a great player right now, but like kind of just looked so like, it looked like one of those nature things where there's like a baby deer and like a lion, right? And I was just like, it reminded me of that All-Star game. I think it was the first Elam ending All-Star game, and they were going at it. And I think LeBron's team ends up winning, but Giannis
blocked the fadeaway. That's what it was.
And at that point, I remember it still being kind of a conversation about, you know, is Giannis on that level? Is Giannis better? Whatever. And it's just kind of fun that we've got from now, just like, yeah, he is. Like, yeah, he's.
No,
he's
it's not even. Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's not that. It's not. He's on the level. It's.
Yeah, that's what
LeBron,
I mean.
It's like, is LeBron even close to Giannis at this point? We're getting to the twilight of LeBron's career. Like, obviously, he's one of the greatest players to ever play the game of basketball. All respect to him. But it's just like, he's not that guy right now. And there's no shame in that. Like, he's 38 years old. There's no shame in that.
No, but it is just, it reminded me of that moment. And I was like, oh, yeah, I remember when that was a thing way back.
Oh, yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's nice to have these moments where you're like, yeah, Giannis is the best player on the freaking planet.
He's
like,
him.
Yeah, he's him. He rhymes with, have you seen those memes where it's like all these images rhyme and it's like Rim, Kim, like Jim from The Office, and then like a picture
of a player. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
But yeah, he's him. He's continues to be him. What are your thoughts on Giannis and the MVP conversation?
I'm not too passionate about it, just because I think by his standards, he hasn't played his best ball for the last couple of weeks. I thought the first month or so of the season, I think he was the clear MVP. I think since like early to mid-ish November, he's had some great moments, but on the whole, he is not, he's been great, but he's been like at or below the greatness bar that you expect from him, right? And I think, I don't know who, I guess Tatum right now would be one of the like by default guys, because they're first and he's playing really well. He played poorly against Miami, I know, but on the whole, he's playing great this season. I mean, I just think I would need to see him level back up to that, at least close to that early season of like, oh my God, Giannis, versus for minutes on minutes on minutes, not just like, Oh, yeah, Giannis got his way to, you know, 35 points. That's great. He had a good game. He had a good Giannis game. We take him for granted. I get it. But I just think he's not been up there. I think he should be in the conversation right now. But I don't think he's like a clear winner right now in the season to me.
Yeah, I don't think he's anywhere close to below the level of like an MVP. If the season ended today and he won MVP, it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't say he doesn't deserve it.
No, I wouldn't expect him to win, but I wouldn't. Yeah. I would think he deserved it.
Yeah, of course, 100%. But when you see the way guys like Jason Tatum are playing, I think it's honestly just Tatum at this point. Because Luka's team isn't good enough. They're dog shit. Jason Kidd doing Jason Kidd things.
Yeah, and I think like Steph has been unbelievable, but kind of the same thing. The Warriors just haven't. They're rising now, I think, because they don't play Wiseman. Yeah. I mean, it's like hard to figure out what was going wrong there. They send James Wiseman.
We're all trying to figure out the guy who did this.
Yeah. But yeah.
I watched that now. I know the reference.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
That's right. That skit. I think you should. Yeah. That's a good one. Make time for this coming soon. But it's like Tatum shooting poorly from three. 30.8 points, 8 rebounds, 4.5 assists, 58% from two, 35% from three. Best team in the NBA. That's kind of open and shut. I'll be honest. That's kind of an open and shut MVP case.
It is.
Superstar numbers, like huge impact. Best team. Okay.
But, season's not over.
No. There's a lot of games. What? 60?
Yeah.
Ish games to go? No, less than that. That many?
I think it's exactly 60.
We've played 22 only?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, 60 games to go.
So a lot of basketball to be played, and the Bucks are only 1.5 games behind Boston right now.
Yeah. So I think Giannis is it's probably almost better because I feel like it's pretty rare lately.
Oh, and also Jokic is putting up monster numbers again. He's not gonna win MVP.
Yeah, yeah. They'd have to be much better. I mean, there is time, but
he shouldn't win it. Like, if Giannis doesn't win his third in a row, Jokic shouldn't.
He would have to do something. They'd have to be insanely good, and they're just not.
Yeah,
if they won 70 games, then sure.
They'd have to win 74 games.
They wouldn't have to win 74.
I think so.
I don't think. Unless the Celtics won like 68 or the Bucks did, in which case then they may have to win 74. Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. The awards talk, it's obviously very early, but I think Giannis is – I was going to say, it doesn't – I feel like early season favorites don't usually win MVP these days. Maybe I'm wrong, but like how much buzz has there been?
Because it's been Luka the last 3 years.
And Embiid. It's Luka and Embiid are always the two guys, and they never end up that – I mean, Embiid's finished second twice, but they never end up winning it.
Yeah. It's not how that works. Maybe Giannis in his second year.
Yeah.
That was the last time. Steph, maybe. No, yeah, I don't even think.
15, 16, probably him. Yeah. Cause they were just like, geez, what do you do with that?
Yeah. It was coming off the title.
Yeah.
And then they win 73 games. Yeah.
Yeah. That was probably the last time where it was like, oh,
but that's like 7 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the problem now is the media who does the MVP coverage and gets the votes, they're just more interested in like making a point than they are in doing a good job giving out the award. And it's very stupid. Like, give it to the most valuable player. You can argue about what that means, but there's all this like, oh, what would it mean if Jason Tatum won? I don't know. Let's see him win it. Like, if he goes out and wins it, fine. But I just hate this framework of like,
narrative-based voter.
Embiid has been second two in a row. It's really his time. Let's see if it's his time. It shouldn't be his time based on what happened with the voting last year or what people think about him. It should be his time based on, oh, they're first in the conference and he's lighting it up and they're way better when he plays.
Exactly. Preaching to the choir here, Ty.
I know. Let's talk about Drew Holiday.
Yeah, quickly. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I think very promising, and I think a little telling, honestly, that he had one of his best games of the year immediately when Chris comes back and kind of takes, not pressure, not like I think Drew is crumbling, but just takes some of the offensive load off of Drew Holiday, a player who, you know, we have and can continue to argue about who is the number two in terms of talent or whatever, who's better between Drew and Chris. The debate can be whatever. Clearly, offensively, it's Giannis, then Chris, then Drew. And I think having Chris back, hopefully full time, knock on wood here, will be very beneficial to Drew, who just everything looked easier for him. And I think it just probably will be easier for him. I don't think that's just playing the Lakers. I think there's probably going to be a knock-on effect of Chris coming back. Like, everyone's life now just is so much simpler.
For sure. That's something. It's like being knocked down a peg in the hierarchy.
The totem pole.
Yeah, totem pole. It's just like, yeah, you have your number two guy back offensively. Yeah, Drew Holiday, you have a much lighter load. You don't have to force as much. You don't have to be relied upon as much to do that. You don't have to have as high a usage rate to be able to make some weird decisions as a playmaker, throw some weird passes, take some weird shots.
I think that'll still happen. I'm not gonna get too carried away.
We can hope, you know.
Yeah, we can hope.
But yes, I'm glad you said it's not coincidence that Drew has one of his best games when Chris comes back, because that's what you want to see when your three best players are healthy, your core guys are healthy and playing together. They should raise each other up. They should be playing well off of each other. And that's what we saw with Drew Holiday in Chris Middleton's return. And he's still racking up assists. He's always going to get those. He's always going to be a solid playmaker. He's going to have his gaffes. He's going to have his mistakes. But he's going to be productive on the offensive end.
Yeah.
Even if he's not shooting the ball well, he'll still find ways to impact and get this team scoring. It's nice. It's very nice. Let's see if it holds up.
Yeah, hopefully. One thing I'll watch is his two-point percentage. He's 51.6% from two this year. His first two Bucks seasons, he was 56%, 54.7%. And I think a lot of stuff was weird about the Bucks last year. I would hope. It makes it sound like I need it to happen. But it would be interesting if he climbed back up to above 55% on those twos now that Chris is back and just there's so much more space in the offense. We always talk about, and like clearly it's good for Giannis too, right? Giannis got 40. I think Giannis's life is going to be a lot easier. Hopefully we see his usage trend down. I do not want him to lead the league in usage given the Bucks are, you know, let that happen in the finals. That doesn't need to happen in December and November. But we always talk about Giannis with spacing conversations, right? Like, oh, we need spacing so life is easier for Giannis. You know, Drew could use some spacing too, right? Like everyone on offense is going to be better with more spacing. So I think even outside of the 17-7, the impact of Chris Middleton should help everyone in theory, at least. I mean, there's variance outside of this, but with Chris versus without Chris, offense should be easier for everyone.
For sure. Rules. For sure. Yeah. Like it's really nice. I need more games of Chris Middleton in this Bucks team.
I know. I just need more this week.
Yeah. Hopefully there's not going to be any games missed unless it's like a back-to-back. Are there any back-to-backs this week? I don't think so.
Monday and Wednesday were not. I didn't look farther than that.
Yeah. So we should theoretically, wow, I struggled with that. Get at least two games.
Sunday scary is hitting.
Yeah. Get at least two more games with Chris Middleton before we record next. But yeah. Do we have anything else we need to touch on here, Ty?
Let's do the Champagne Bros quickly as we just kind of walk through the team. Bobby and Pat. Bobby, it's like his 90s game, man. The shot, still kind of a question mark, but he did step up real nicely against Charlotte, and he continues to rebound the ball, score around the basket, etc. Pat just still feels like the same. I like what I'm seeing. He's rusty, but still just waiting for him to knock it off. I'm not concerned yet, but where are you at? I guess we can frame it by concern. Bobby's shot Pat. No, Bobby's shot versus Pat. Are you concerned about either? Where are you at on both?
I mean, I'm probably a little more concerned about Bobby's shot. I'm not really super concerned about Pat, because we've seen him time and time again, like, get out of shooting slumps, and just be able to step up in the highest moments. Like, we've seen that. Bobby, it's just like, I'm glad he's finding ways to be more productive, even if his 3-point shot isn't there. Like, he's still managing to get those little hook shots, those little runners, little push shots to go. Get those face-up jumpers to drop. He's mixing in some turnaround fades on occasion, which is like, you do that. Like, you're a big guy.
Like, don't put him in a box, Rohan.
I just like, you weaponize your size, you know. It's, but that's probably what I'm mostly more concerned about. But even that, I'm not really super duper concerned with that, because like I just said, he's still finding ways to be effective. His rebounding is ridiculous. Like, his offensive rebounding is ridiculous this season. It's just, he's one of the most productive rebounders in the league. And he's still finding ways to be effective, still finding ways to impact the team in a positive manner. And so I can't really be mad at it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I agree, you know, it's nice to see, I think, both guys more or less finding ways to have positive impacts, even if the 3-point shot for Pat, kind of any shot, but especially the 3-point shot, not falling. I think that is it then. Oh, real quick, I set it up top, the giveaway. So yep. If you have not yet participated, this is for podcast listeners only. We're not putting it out there on social, any of that stuff. It's for real pod listeners. So if you tuned in and you said, I like the pod, and you want to win a signed Wisconsin Herd basketball, it's too far away for me to grab it. I did show it on a past episode. It does exist. All you have to do is buy, I said, Monday, December 19th. Yes, by end of day, Monday, December 19th. Join the Discord, GSPN Discord. Link is in the link tree, in GSPN.info. You can find Discord access there. It's easier than ever now. There is a giveaways channel. All you got to do is go in there, drop your favorite. Can be Eurostep, Win in Six, GSPN Bucks collab, Cruising for a Bruising, Talking the Tundra, Make Time for This, whatever pod it is. Drop your favorite GSPN memory, joke, bit, thing, like trait, stuff that we do, whatever it is. The responses have been really cool to read through. We very much appreciate everyone entering and sharing. And if you want to do so, it's that easy. Go win a Herd basketball, potentially, that we will ship out the week before Christmas. That can be our Christmas present to you. So, yeah, that's the giveaway. Take part in that, please.
For sure. It's so nice to see, like, these entries and see what people are loving about this time of year. And also, shout out to everyone who had this in their Spotify Wrapped.
Yes.
Also, like, it's great just call. It's amazing to see. Thank you for sharing. Just warms my heart, Ty. It makes me feel all emotional.
There's hundreds of people who have us in their at least top 10. I think also hundreds in top 5. That's so cool.
Right?
Thank you. And that's only Spotify. Like, oh man, I'm getting warm and fuzzy, Rohan.
I know. It's hard not. How can you not be romantic about podcasting?
Exactly.
But yeah, thank you. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you enter that giveaway. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're listening to this, watching this on YouTube. Check out all of the GSPN pods at gspn.info. Leave a 5-star rating and review on your podcast platform of choice, Pod Random, and we will talk to you next time.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.